Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
Okay. So here we are, right? We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. Let's have a look at this passage. Hebrews 11, 23 to 27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured a seeing him who is invisible. Oh Lord God, we do ask your blessing. On this sermon today in Jesus' name. So what I want to say, or how we're going to start, it's a Mother's Day sermon. And here we got the mother of Moses and what she did for him. And what she did for him helped him and set him up to become the man that he was. And today we could talk about all mothers. I say all. There's quite a few in the scriptures. And, we got Eve, the mother of us all. There's Hannah, the mother of Samuel, great lady, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. But today we will speak about this lady, this mother, who's known as Jochebed. That is the mother of Moses. And she was a mother in a very, very difficult time. Do we live in difficult times today? I would say yes. I would say that. But in the time of Moses and the mother of Moses, she had some serious decisions to make. And they were very serious. I'll tell you why. Because the babies were under the sentence of death. The baby boys, I should say. Not all babies. Baby girls were okay. But the baby boys were under the sentence of death. And we have to consider this. And because of her actions, she acted in faith. And as a result of that, she enters into God's Hall of Fame. And that Hall of Fame is Hebrews chapter 11. We have all great men of faith, great women of faith. And but here our first point is that she saw the potential in her son. We go back to verse 23. By faith, Joseph. Oh, no, it's 22. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So that's the mother and the father. Because they saw he was a proper child. Well, what's not a proper child, eh? They saw something in him when he was born that he was proper. That's what it says. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Very interesting. Not afraid of the king's commandments. He was a proper child. Are you proper human beings today? Every one of us?
Yeah.
It's in the Bibles.
In my version, it says beautiful child. Yeah.
What you got, Mayor? The King James?
It's New King James.
New King James, okay.
Beautiful child.
Well, this one, authorised version, says
New
he's...
New American Standard.
New American Standard. Okay, that's Jeff's Bible, isn't it? One of them. So we've got the authorised VAV, which I am a lover of the AV. I've read many Bibles, but I say the AV, you'll get the proper word of God because he was a proper child. Exodus chapter 2, let's go there. Exodus 2 says something different. And this is, here we go, let's have a look. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2 says he is a goodly child. I'll read from verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Okay, let's ask Mayette what her translation says.
Beautiful.
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 Yours beautiful.
New King James.
New King James. Okay. So, I reckon mine's correct. All right. How about this? Let's turn to Acts 7. Let's have a little Acts 7. Here we have a sermon. And preached by Stephen. And you will find here 7 verse 20. Speaking of Moses. Okay, verse 19. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live, in which time Moses was born, and he was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. Moses was exceeding fair. So he was a proper child, he was a goodly child, and he was exceedingly fair. That is the description of the Word of God, of the Bible, when Moses was a baby, when he was a youngster. The mother loved him. It's extraordinary. She loved him as he was, and she saw something in him. And she was under pressure. Every mother was under pressure. You think about it, knowing that the king's decree was to cast all the baby boys to the crocodiles in the River Nile. That's extreme pressure. So anyway, a child are gifts of God. We know that from Psalm 127, but every child you like to think is going to be a blessing to the family. And you want every child to be a blessing, not to be a burden or a bother to mum and dad. And whenever I think of a goodly boy, I'm always thinking of the Lord Jesus. And I imagine him to always be doing something for mum and for dad. Always taking the role of a servant to help out in the house, to carry the shopping, maybe do the shopping, do the washing up, do the cleaning, help out, do whatever he could. Just like Mayette was describing, coming from a poor family, poor background, up at 4 o'clock in the morning and going out selling panda sal, just so that the family had a little bit extra cash. And I imagine the Lord Jesus being at the forefront of that and saying, I'm going to try and sell as much Pantasol as I can. So children, the Bible says that they're gifts from God. They are his heritage. It says in Psalm 107, he says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Isn't that pleasant? You know, some of us, we come from a background which is not a Christian background. You know, we come from a heathen background or a false religious type background. But somehow, through all of that, God has cared for us and brought us into his saving grace. And, you know, my personal testimony is, by the grace of God, I was brought up in a children's home which was run by Roman Catholics, and the nun, who was our nun, Sister Lucy, had it so that Shane, Mark and myself should be altar boys in the Roman Catholic tradition. And one or two of you may have been in the Mass, the Roman Catholic service. It all went over my head, except for the fact that Jesus was born and is the Son of God and he suffered. But it took me a long time to work out why he suffered. But I had a nun as my surrogate mother. Anyway, I'll move on to my next point. But this mother, the mother of Moses, took a risk. She risked her life for this son. It's quite interesting. There was this law that all the children would be thrown into the Nile, as I've said already. And, you know, if you've done a YouTube and you've looked at wildlife in Africa and you see the way that crocodiles, I don't know if you've seen these videos, where you get zebras or wildebeest or some sort of gazelle, they're crossing a river and there's alligators, they're waiting. They're waiting for the zebra or the gazelle to go across the river. And, you know, dinner is served on a plate because those crocodiles will eat those wildebeest or those zebras or gazelles. But in this case, in the River Nile, they were there waiting for the baby boys. The baby boys to just be thrown into the river and they'll have their mouths open, just say, "Thank you very much." Crunch, crunch, crunch. And that could be your baby boy. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us how long this went on for. But the Pharaoh, the kings of Egypt, were terrified that the children of Israel were becoming numerous, more and more numerous. And they said, "We've got to do it." They were scared that the Israelites, the children, they did outnumber. They threw these boys to the crocodiles. That was their desire. Anyway, this mum, Jochebed, defied the king and violated the law to save her son. She wasn't having it. She was going to do it. I mean, that was better. You have to say she was a very crafty lady, because when you're pregnant, it's hard to camouflage the bump on your tummy. I'm sure that every mother that got pregnant would have worn some sort of large garment to hide the fact that she was pregnant, worrying whether it would be a boy or a girl. And if it was a boy, it was going to be thrown in. She probably had friends, had acquaintances, that lost their children, their baby boys, to the crocodiles. She probably knew them. She probably was in a family where they were born. The sons of Levi. Anyway, sadly, many children saw their fate and swallowed up by crocodiles. We like to say, well, we're Christians, aren't we? We're law-abiding citizens, aren't we? We're good people. We keep to the speed limit. We pay our taxes, yeah? We pay our council tax. We do all the right things, don't we? But don't have a baby boy, because you'll be throwing him into the Nile and he'll be swallowed up. So there is a time to obey the law, and there is a time to break the law. And in this case, I would say it's a good time to break the law. If you're going to start a family, have a little baby boy, a little baby girl, I think there's a time when you need to take action. And you need to take the law into your own hands. I certainly wouldn't want to have a situation where I've got a baby, where I've got to throw him into the River Nile. It reminds me of Peter and John in the book of Acts, where they say we ought to obey God rather than man, because they were told to not preach or teach in the name of Jesus. Well, what are we going to do if a law is decreed where we cannot have freedom of speech? What are we going to do? Are we going to obey that law? Are we going to shut up? Are we going to be quiet? I'm very happy right now. It seems to me that around the world that there is this thing about drag queens going into schools, grooming little children, little tiny tots, nursery age. And they're dressed up in glam and wigs and makeup and terrible. I don't like it, whatever it is. But they're there, brainwashing little babies, little tiny tots, little children, little nursery age, primary school age, trying to show them that they've got 73 different genders. How ridiculous. And this is becoming so acceptable. Not allowed to be impartial, are we? Yes, we are. Anyway, this is the society in which we're moving in. A little boy, funny enough, challenged this drag queen and said, excuse me, there's not 73 genders, there's only two. And the drag queen expelled him out of the classroom. Anyway, that boy stood up for what he believed in, and he stood up for the truth. And that's what we all want to be doing. And I'm diverting a little bit, because we're moving into times where people are putting things upon us which are uncomfortable. And I'm sorry, I've got to stand my ground and say, you know, if something's rubbish, it's rubbish. If something is false, it's false. But the disciples, in the early part of the Acts, they made a statement, they took the law into their own hands, and they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So in spite of the king's command, this mother hid her son. She took the law into her own hands, and somehow she hid him. She was not afraid of the law. She was not afraid to exercise her faith. And, she trusted in God rather than the Pharaoh and the words of the king. He says it here in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured a seeing him who is invisible. Where did Moses get this faith? We like to say, well, Moses was born Moses. He was fantastic. He was always going to be fantastic. But the point of the matter is, as a youngster, he learned courage and faith from his mother. That's where he learned it from. He saw it in her. It's an interesting thing, you know, like there was a woman known as Susanna Wesley. You heard of Susanna Wesley? She is the mother of Charles Wesley, John Wesley. She fathered. She mothered. She mothered 18 children. I'm talking about Susanna Wesley. She mothered, I believe it to be 18 children. However, a few of them died, maybe up to six. John and Charles were like near the youngest. They were the youngest. I think Charles was the youngest. And the what I'm going to say is this. This mother, Susanna, she's buried in London in Bunhill Fields Cemetery. She had a method. And as a mother, she had this method of how to educate her children. She educated the oldest child and the other oldest, the second oldest. She educated these children, maybe three of them, and she taught them English, taught them history, taught them religious studies, taught them about God, taught them about, you know, the history of England. She went through the whole lot. Now, after those children grew up, she wondered, she thought, do I want to teach all the children? Not 18 of them, because as I've said, a few died. But she trusted the older children to teach the younger children. She had a principle. She had a method. And the youngest are growing up, that's John and Charles, and they're seeing this method. They're seeing that the older kids are teaching the younger kids. Who was responsible for that? Susanna Wesley, the mother. So they learned how to be Methodist, not because they went to Oxford University, but because they saw the principle in action in their mum. Moses saw similar principles of faith outworking in his mum. He saw his mum was a woman of faith. His mum was a woman of courage. And it's interesting, isn't it? Well, we know the story how she came up with this idea, this plan. In fact, we're going to move into this. You know, this mother, verse 24, Moses' mum, she imparted faith into Moses. It says here, listen, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know that story. You know, after 3 months, hidden in the house, wherever he was hid, she put him in a basket, which we call a Moses basket. Maybe you remember being in a Moses basket when you was a youngster. I don't know. But anyway, she imparted faith into her son in the same way that Susanna Wesley imparted Methodism into her boys. Now, faith, it's something that we see in people. You saw something in your mum, Maya. You saw something in the way that it's more blessed to give than to receive, isn't it? That's what you were teaching us. And what do I see in you? You make all this lovely food, chocolate, cakes, chicken and everything. You give it away and I'm thinking, oh no, you know, I'm missing out. Anyway, but it is. You've learned something from your mum. We learn something. Sister Lucy, my surrogate mother, she is a religious lady. I'm not a Roman Catholic now. I was. I am a Christian, but I have to thank God for her, because my real mother, who abandoned me, etc., she wasn't a religious lady. She wasn't a believing lady. Anyway, one thing I'll say about Moses' mother, she is a very smart planner. She's a woman who knows how to work things out. She thinks ahead. She's a smart woman. You've got a smartphone? Moses had a smart mother. That's what I will tell you today if you go home with anything. She hatched a plan to become Moses' personal nurse. Let's go back to Exodus. Chapter 2. Exodus 2. What do we see? Verse 7. It says here, then said his sister, he had an older sister called Miriam, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Obviously, he was in the basket, he was floating down the Nile, yes, amongst the reeds, and she was watching through the reeds. She was watching that basket go down the river Nile. And when Pharaoh's daughter came and saw the baby in the basket, it warmed her heart. And you know the story. Anyway, back to this verse. Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse a child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said, great idea. Well, she didn't say that, but she imagined something like that. She said, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. What a smart move, isn't it? What a clever move. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, eh? And I will give thee thy wages. She even got paid for it. How smart is that? This is the mother of Moses. She was a clever, smart, quick-thinking woman. Who inspired her to do that? The Holy Spirit. She got paid for bringing up her own son when other sons were being thrown into the river Nile. Wow. Verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Obviously, surrogate mother. And she called his name Moses and said, because I drew him out of waters. But in that time, you know, here's this mum teaching him. What's she going to teach him? The history of Egypt? I don't think so. All the pharaohs that ever went before, the pharaoh that was on the... Maybe, you know, the mother, the surrogate mother, Pharaoh's daughter, might have taught him those things. But Moses' mum would have taught him all about her people, the Hebrews, God's people. She would have been teaching him to become a man of faith himself. She would have been having Bible studies, Sunday school, except, well, Sabbath school on the Saturday, obviously. But that's what she would have taught him from a very early age. The scripture says, bring up a child in the way that
they should go.
There we go. And that is what she did. And what happened? In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, when he had everything that he's been, went round Egypt on a chariot, dressed up like a pharaoh, yes, what did he do? He chose to serve God rather than the Egyptians. He had faith. He came to a place where, said it in the book of the Hebrews, 11, chapter 11, I think we've already mentioned it. He chose to forsake. Oh, let's go. 11:24-25. By faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, you know, a mother's patient instruction built a faithful son. God was preparing Moses through his mom, through how she educated him. how she taught him, how she set an example. That is why Moses became the great man that he is, through the mother. She enabled her son to take a hard, long look at life. She gave him life studies. Look, 25, I've read it just now. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Some people want the sin for the season. They want to give their life to that. They forsake whatever God's got in mind for them. He saw the temporary nature of sin. It is temporary. It's a seasonal thing. Yeah, you want a party, you want to let it all hang out, it's all for a season. But to serve God, to honour God, to serve his people, it's forever. Because the reward is eternal. He chose to suffer, like the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus chose to suffer on the cross for his people. He understood a lot. He thought a lot. He suffered a lot. And he realized that suffering, and we should remember this, suffering is temporary. Don't forget that. It's temporary because there will come a time, brothers and sisters, there will come a time when we will have to stand our ground like Moses' mum, where you disobey the law. Take this mark upon your forehead or on your hand and everything will go well with you. Eh? No, thank you. Very much. I've got other things that are on my mind. He came to believe that eternal riches are in the Lord. That's what he came to believe. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He saw that there is a reward in identifying with Christ. And I know that the cross, the crucifixion, and all the story of redemption, it hadn't been worked out at this point. But somehow he came to understanding, I'd rather be identified with God, with Abraham, Isaac. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's a lot going on here that I can't explain right now. Because by my name, Jehovah, if you go to Exodus 3, where he reveals himself, this is God Almighty, to Moses in the burning bush, he says, by my name, Jehovah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they did not know me, okay? They only knew me as God Almighty. However, that's another subject for another day. But he learned to walk by faith. He learned, as a Hebrew in an Egyptian family, to walk by faith and not by sight, learning and trusting God in a difficult time, a very difficult time, when everything around him was anti-God, was anti-Hebrew. Killing the babies, killing the Hebrew boys, everything around him. Working with Pharaoh. And I mean, you know, I do like every year or so, don't you like to watch Ben-Hur? Don't you like to see Charlton Heston as Moses? Huh? Am I on my own? You watch it. And there comes a time when you have to say, no, I'm not a part of this world. I'm a part of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, he learned to walk by faith, trusting God in difficult times. Will we do the same? Will we follow after Christ? Will we be identified with Christ here and now in this generation? People know you. Do they know you as a Christian? Do they know you as a son of God, a daughter of God? Or do they think that you're just Joe Bloggs, the same as everybody else? Moses was different, wasn't he? Because his mum was different. So I say to you, mothers, you're a mother, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. The reward of a mother's faith. Yes, the rewards of a mother's faith is that Moses was chosen by God. Because Jochebed, Moses' mum, had prepared him. She did her best. She was a good woman and a good mother. And she was faithful in being a good mom. She did the right thing. What a great woman. And because of her actions, that son became a man of God. And because of that, God chose him to do his work. God wanted a deliverer for those people of God. I mean, there was too many of them. And that one woman who took the action to defy the laws of Egypt and to defy the king, that one woman, the fruit of her labours was in her son. You can't get better than that. A faithful woman of God and brought up a son who will become the deliverer. All her effort, all her mental capacity, all her striving to do the right thing built faith into Moses. And she and her husband were rewarded because he was a great man. Is there a greater than Moses? Well, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the writer of the Hebrews says that there is a greater than Moses. But he was a great, great man. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transformed in all his glory from his humanity to the glory of heaven, who was there with him? Moses and Elijah. Such a great man. She is a great woman. And don't forget, we're focusing on the mum here today. She was a great woman. And what I'm going to say, I'm closing now, but what do we need? We need mothers, real mums, to train their children to trust in the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength, with all their might, to trust in God with all their heart, that he will be able to use our sons and our daughters to do what God wants them to do. That's what we want in our generation. So, Father, we do come before you once again, and we just want to thank you so much for mothers like Jochebed, who are able to instill into sons like Moses the ways of God, the things of God, the thoughts of God, the word of God. Lord, let it be so, even in our church and in our generation, that there'll be women just like Jochebed. We do ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's join Jethro. Well, let's sing our last hymn.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.